Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast. This week's readings and reflection remind us about how God has a heart for the outsider and how the people of Israel were themselves once refugees who found shelter in Egypt from the famine devastating their homeland. As so often happens, the Bible stories are bang up to date for our society today. But first, a hymn of praise and a psalm that celebrates our unity as Christians, the unity that makes it possible and essential to welcome outsiders.
King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. Within me falls at your throne, your majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now, in royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty.
Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life for evermore. Let us pray. Living Lord, we praise you that you are a God who loves. You've given us this marvellous world to live in and share with all your people. You, O God, love everyone equally, and we thank you that we are each unique. We thank you that each one of us has so much to give, to receive from each other. Thank you for this day, for our new experience as life for this day, our new encounters, our conversations that you give us. May we bless other people as you have blessed us. Yet, Lord, sometimes we look as though we are listening to others, but we're not. We make the right noises. And we confess that our attention is often anywhere but where it's supposed to be. Forgive us for missed opportunities. There are times when we are distracted by our own concerns. We care only for ourselves and listen only to those who say what we want to hear. Forgive us, missed opportunities. Sometimes, Lord, we don't listen to people because we don't like them or because they're different from us and to us. Forgive us for missed opportunities. Sometimes, God, we don't listen to you because we're too busy or frightened about what you might say to us. Forgive us for missed opportunities. Today, as we reflect upon your word, may we be open by your Spirit to all that you want to say to us, and may we respond in grace and mercy, knowing your forgiveness for us, that we may forgive others. Renew us, restore us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie, for that reading and prayers. We're going to hear another reading now. It's towards the end of the story of Joseph. Sold by his brothers into slavery, Joseph has risen to great stature in Egypt and now is in a position to either welcome and save his family or reject and condemn them in retribution for the way they treated him. He's tested them out to see if there's any sense of grief for their actions. He has unnerved them by seating them in family order at his table. How would he know who was who? And now he just can't wait any longer to be reunited with them. Here's what happened.
Genesis 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they'd done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it's really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him.
There are so many lessons for us in our present circumstances. One obvious one is that you just don't know who that abject, trafficked person is who arrives in your country and how significant their contribution might be in days to come. You were once refugees and immigrants, God reminds the people of Israel. So show kindness to strangers and foreigners when you're secure in a land of your own. We'll come back to that theme in our gospel reading. Another obvious lesson from this story is how through a series of improbable and unpredictable events, God prepared the way for the salvation of Jacob's family. We can't always see God at work, but we trust him for the outcome. Adrian leads us as we sing, "Your hand, O Lord, has guided."
Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. The wondrous tale is written full clear on every page. Our forebears owned your goodness, and we their deeds record. And both of this bear witness, one church, one faith, one Lord. Your heralds brought glad tidings to greatest as to least. They summoned all to hasten and share the great king's feast. Their gospel of redemption, sin pardoned, right restored, was all in this enfolded. One church, one faith, one Lord. Your mercy will not fail us, nor leave your work undone. With your right hand to help us, the victory shall be won. And then by all creation, your name shall be adored. And this shall be our anthem, one church, one faith, one Lord.
Now, Jackie reads to us from Matthew's Gospel, after which Nigel Mountford will bring us this week's reflection.
Matthew 15, verses 10 to 28. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Thanks be to God for his word to us this day. Amen.
When we first moved from Birmingham to Chester, one of the real novelties was living half a mile from the border into Wales. I could literally walk into another country. I needed no passport or identification. A trip over this border certainly didn't appear to change too much, apart from seeing the bilingual road signs. Some years later, I crossed the border between the United States and Canada, and on this occasion, there was a degree of scrutiny of passports before passage was allowed, but still not really a seismic shift in cultures on our arrival. Across the world, there are lots of borders, and many that are disputed borders of division, where there is deep differences in culture, historical interpretation, customs, politics, race, and language. North and South Korea, Israel and Palestine, India and Pakistan, Mexico and the United States, the list is extensive and long. I wonder, what borders have you crossed, and what was your experience? In the Gospel reading today, we are told that Jesus and his disciples made their way to the districts of Tyre and Sidon, port cities to the north. Geographically, a comparatively short distance to travel, but socially and politically, it was in reality entering another territory, over the border into Gentile territory, where Jews would not normally live or certainly not naturally travel. Matthew provides some background by referring to this woman not only as a Gentile, but also as a Canaanite. Of course, Canaanites were seen as one of Israel's oldest enemy, ever since Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land and drove the Canaanites out. The feeling between them wasn't good. So Jesus is confronted by a woman who is a Canaanite, and both categories would have been incredibly problematic, one because of gender and the other because of race. She was literally an outsider. We perhaps cannot fully grasp the scandal of this meeting. "Have mercy on me," she said, "Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." Of course, it is the plea of a mother desperately trying to find help for her daughter. This wasn't about labels and categories and the history of the two nations, but a woman appealing on behalf of her daughter. In reality, she was the outsider, the alien, the other, but her persistence and faith are clearly noted and rewarded. It would seem she obviously had some understanding of who Jesus was by the very nature of the way she addresses him. The dialogue that ensues is interesting and somewhat disturbing, and probably warrants a dissertation of how we interpret it, especially as Jesus initially seems to dismiss her by his silence and then appears to suggest she is outside of his mission, and maybe even further goes on to insult her at the same time, calling her a dog. But insensitivity and offensive behaviour does not equate with the usual behaviour Jesus displays. So why did Matthew include this encounter? There is perhaps no easy answer, and we are left with many questions. Was it an example again to Jesus' disciples that there were no human boundaries to God's grace and mercy? Was Jesus clearly demonstrating the futility of the way the world seems to exclude and include, with labels, with no regard to human need or respect? What we do know is that Jesus responds to this nameless Gentile woman, and we do know that Jesus is willing to go over the boundaries and borders. In going to the borders, there was a learning process happening. There always is if we are open to listen and to learn. When we meet those who are different in culture and language, we recognize that they too have a basic human need for love and acceptance. They have fears, concerns, just like us. It is a reminder that the passport of love and grace at the heart of the kingdom of God is fluid across all human-made boundaries and labels, be it they of race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, disability, or colour of skin. In Isaiah 53, in the Old Testament reading for today, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah to say that God's house is a house of prayer for all nations. All that word does not give much room for them and us. All is an inclusive word. And although we are too often interested in who are them and us, God actually appears in all people. The Roman Catholic priest and poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, in one of his famous poems, wrote, "For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in eyes, and lovely in limbs not his." So where have we seen Christ play? Maybe Christ plays in the volunteers who have distributed food to vulnerable people during lockdown at considerable cost and sacrifice. Maybe Christ plays in the carer who helped the elderly lady fulfill one of her last wishes. Maybe Christ plays in the phone call of encouragement or the cake that was baked as a gift and given. I wonder, where do we see Christ playing? Are our borders too limited and too closed to see Christ playing?
Thanks, Nigel. Now Jackie leads us in prayer.
Our prayers for others, let us pray. Nothing can hold back the brave woman from Cana. Not religious boundaries. Not gender rules, nothing. When she told Jesus the needs of her precious child, he responded. Dear Lord, give us faith like this unswerving woman. May we be bold, creative, whatever it takes, that we may hear, "O great is your faith, let it be done for you as you wish." God of all our days and lives, teach us to live our lives to the fullest. Teach us to take joy in the many blessings you have showered upon us. Teach us to love one another as those in the early church did. And teach us to be a church to those who are in need around us. God of our comings and our goings, help us to order our lives, our time around you. Help us to find time to spend with our families, our loved ones and our friends. Help us to rest and relax as needed. Help us to spend time in prayer and meditation with you. God of our world, remind us not to turn our backs on those in need. Remind us not to turn our eyes away from all the rioting and civil unrest in this world. Help us not to turn our hearts away from those who are different to us and in need. Remind us not to turn our minds away from those who are recovering from natural disaster. God of our church. Strengthen us to maintain justice. Strengthen us to do what is right in your eyes. Strengthen us to be the voice for those who are not able to speak for themselves. Strengthen us to be your church in this world. God of our lives, we pray for those who mourn. And today, as we gather across this area and maybe others throughout this world, we pray for our dear friend Margaret. We will miss her. We love her. Be a source of strength to those who will miss her the most, to her family, her friends and her church family. That we may all know your peace which passes understanding. We pray for the family of the Reverend Gilbert Braithwaite, that they may know the tenderness of your presence at this sad time with his death. And for others who mourn, for others who grieve, for others who wait, may they know your peace, your comfort and your strength. For those in our world who have suffered this week, from train derailments, civil unrest, from need. Gracious God, may we respond with kindness, with generosity to those in need around us and in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, that we may forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We finish with a song by Stuart Townend, There Is Hope. In their desperate situation, Jacob's family discovered that God had gone before them and prepared a refuge. In her hopelessness, the Syrophoenician woman found deliverance. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager parts, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me, the hope of heaven, my highest calling and my deepest joy, to make his will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Savior there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold his face. When sufferings cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home.
May this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored, and my imagination in God be restoried. May the gravity of material things be lightened, and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and his spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen. Today's reflection was by Nigel Mountford. Prayers and readings were from Reverend Jackie Belfield. Songs were by Adrian Pallant. The podcast was hosted by me, Pete Wildman. God bless.